In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
It's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Today is the feast of St. Teresa of the Child Jesus of the Holy Face. Wow, what a title. But let me tell you, she entered a Carmelite convent at 15 years old, and she died at 24. So that's only 9 years of worship and prayer that she had. But today I'm reading from her autobiography about her own crisis, because she wanted to be a martyr. And how can you be a martyr when you are in a contemplative convent? Listen, "Since my longing for martyrdom was powerful and unsettling, I turned to the epistles of St. Paul in hope of my finding an answer. My chance, I got the 12th and 13th chapters of the first epistle to the Corinthians. It caught my attention. And at first section, I read that not everyone can be an apostle, not everyone can be a prophet, not everyone can be a teacher, that the church was composed of a variety of members, that the eye cannot be a hand. Even with such of an answer revealed before me, I was not satisfied and did not find peace. I persevered in the reading and did not let my mind wander until I found the encouraging theme. Set your desires on the greater gifts, and I will show you the way which surpasses all others." This is love. "For the apostle insists that the greater gifts are nothing at all without love, and that this same love is surely the best path leading directly to God. At length I found peace of mind. When I had looked upon the mystical body of the church, I recognized myself in none of the members which St. Paul described. And what is more, I desired to distinguish myself more favorably within the whole body. Love appeared to me to be the hinge for my vocation. I knew that the church had a body composed of various members, but in this body the necessary and more noble members was lacking. I knew that the church had a heart, and that such a heart appeared to be aflame with love. I knew that one love drove the members of the church to action, and that this love were extinguished, the apostles would have proclaimed the gospel no longer. The martyrs would not have shed their blood no more. I saw and realized that love sets off the bounds of all vocations, that love is everything, that this same love embraces every time and every place. In one word, that love is everlasting. Then, nearly ecstatic with the supreme joy in my soul, I proclaimed, 'O Jesus, my love, at last I have found my calling. My call is love. Certainly I have found my proper place in the church. You gave me that very place, my God. In the heart of the church, my mother, I will be love, and thus I will be all things as my desire finds its direction.'" Let me tell you that Teresa of the Child Jesus of the Holy Face was a young girl who wanted to be something for the body of Christ. Let me tell you, the 11th chapter of St. Matthew says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight.'" Teresa was just a babe. Imagine, Imagine, she found herself to be love in every situation, even to pick up a pin in love and in the name of Jesus, even to give a drink of water to one of the six sisters in the name of Jesus. She was beloved. And that's something we all can do. We're not all going to do great miracles, because everyone isn't a miracle worker. But we can love. We can do this broadcast with love. We can read the scripture with love. We can wash the dishes with love. We can answer the phone with love and compassion for the person on the other end. We can do those things. We might not be able to open the Red Sea. We might not be able to multiply bread and fish, but we can be love to people. Oh, I am not discrediting miracle workers. God appoints miracle workers in the church, no doubt. But not all of us are great miracle workers, but all of us can be love. All of us can be love. Yes, on Wednesday the people go to Planned Parenthood, and they are love in the midst of death. They are love in the midst of death. You know, 40 Days for Life is going on right now, 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. You can be love at Planned Parenthood, and you can go and pray. And on October 10th, there was a national protest against Planned Parenthood between 9 and 11 that's going to be all around the country. You can do that. You can do that. You can be love at those places. No, you don't go to holler. You don't go to scream. You don't go to tell women they're going to kill their children. You go there to be love and a prayerful presence for God to use you in a mighty way. Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus of the Holy Face found her vocation in being love in the midst of the church. You know that she is the patron of the missions? She never left France, but the church has called her the patroness of the missions. And I'm telling you, as Pope Francis said, we are all called to be missionary. Why do you think I have this radio program? To be missionary, to reach out to people that I don't even know, that somebody would listen today and say, my vocation is to follow Jesus and to be love. I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. I have no ability to tell you who is going to turn this radio on or turn this computer on. I have no ability to tell you who is listening or how many are listening. People have asked me, how many listen to your broadcast? I said, I have no idea. I speak to one person. That's you. You are the one I speak to. And you might say, you know, but you're speaking to many. No, I'm speaking to you so that you might know that you have a vocation in the church and you can be love. You can be love. You can wash your face in faith and in love. You can help someone who's sick in love. It's all about love. God is love, at least. And He first called you and me, and He called us to be lovers. First, lovers of Jesus. She says, my loving Jesus. I love you, Jesus. We are first called to love Jesus, and then we are called to love each other. Is it sometimes difficult? Yes, it is. Sometimes it's difficult to love the people that do not love us, isn't it? But you know, God calls us to be love in the midst of the church. And it's doing little things. On Monday or Tuesday, we said little things mean a lot. Well, little things done in love mean a lot. Little things done in love mean a lot. You might not do very much today, but you answer the phone, and there's someone on the other end of the phone, and you pray with them. That's love. That's love. It's all about love. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you that labor in a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Are you burdened today? Turn your burdens to Jesus. Give your burdens to Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden light. Sometimes it doesn't feel very light, does it? So turn your burdens over to Jesus Christ. Turn your burdens over to Jesus Christ. He will change them, and that he can make them love. Once he has them, we surrender our burdens to him. They don't belong to us anymore. They don't belong to us anymore. There was this woman, I forget her name, but if it comes to me, I'll tell you. She never went to church. She never read the Bible. She never prayed. She was raised in one hotel after another. Her father was a very rich man. And once she was having lunch with two Christians, and they said to her, "You need to give your burdens to Jesus. You need to give your burdens to Jesus." And the woman said, "You make Jesus sound like a bellhop." Well, if Jesus, you want him to be your bellhop, you can give him your burdens, and he'll be your bellhop, and he'll be your savior. That night she gets on her knees, and she begins to pray. She doesn't know anything about prayer, so she calls him Sir. When she opened her mouth and called God Sir, the presence of God came upon her, and she said to the man who is God, "I will never drink again with your help, and I will never take pills again with your help." I'm telling you, she gave her burdens over to Jesus. That's what God is calling us to do today, to lovingly give our burdens over to Jesus, and we all have them, don't we? It might be a son, it might be a daughter, it might be the whole family, and you don't know what to do with it. Turn to Jesus with your burdens, and he will help you. He will help you. He is all about helping people who have burdens. You have burdens today. I have burdens today. I have burdens also. To Jesus they go. And the name of the lady was Gert Behenna. Just came to me. Gert Behenna. Yes, she called the Lord Sir. And the next day she went looking for a Bible. And she found a Bible and started to read the scriptures. Oh, my Lord, what you did through Gert Behenna, you can do to us. She was a drunk and a pill user, and God converted her at her bedside when she called God Sir. She soon learned that God had a son, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And that Jesus became Gert Behenna's love. Chapter 12 of Matthew. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the cornfields with his disciples. They were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. Well, you're going to tell you that the old Pharisees are going to be there saying, "You don't respect the Sabbath day, you can just bet." And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Jesus, "Behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day." They were hungry. They were hungry. They had been on preaching expeditions and healing expeditions, and now they're hungry. But listen to this. And he said unto them, that's Jesus, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and that they who were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the show bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests?" In other words, David was hungry with his men, and they ate the show bread, which was in the temple. And I'm telling you, the showbread is the shadow of the Eucharist. Or have we not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and they are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. Oh my, he's talking about himself. But if you had not known what it means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, would you have condemned the guiltless? For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He's greater than the temple. He's greater than the temple. The Jesus Christ is greater than the temple. Jesus is greater than the Sabbath. Verse 9. And when he had departed from there, behold, into their synagogue. Remember, the synagogue was the place where they heard the word of God. The temple was the place where they did sacrifice. So there was a synagogal system all around, because people couldn't get to the temple every week. So they had a synagogue where they read the scriptures and when they were taught. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That they might accuse him. They're looking to accuse Jesus. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold of the sheep and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. My gosh, these Pharisees are going to just, they can't deal with this. Remember, the Sabbath became God to them. But Jesus is saying, you know what? You lift a sheep out of a pit. What about this man? He's a son of Abraham. Why can't we heal him on the Sabbath day? Is the sheep greater than this man? Of course not. This man is a son of Abraham, a son of Jacob. Listen. Then said he to the man, Stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against Jesus, how they might destroy him. Remember? They cared more about the Sabbath than they cared about the man that was sick. Like, you know what? This is wrong. This is wrong. People say you shouldn't work on Sunday. What about nurses? What about nurses? What about the priest? What about ministers? I'm telling you, what is the greater good? What is the greater good? The greater good is to minister to people. The greater good is to help people. The greater good is to do things out of love, even on our Sundays. Yes. Now, I'm not so clear about people going shopping on Sundays, yet Sunday is the biggest shopping day of the week. You can go by these malls and it looks like they're the temples of the day on Sunday. They have better things to do on Sunday than to go shopping. You have six other days to do it, but they do it on Sunday. It's very sad. And when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from there, because they're plotting against him. And great multitudes followed Jesus, and he healed them all. And I'm sure he healed them on the Sabbath. And he charged them that they should not make him known. Why did he charge them not to make him known? Because the great miracle was going to be the miracle on the cross, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, Behold, my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench till he send forth judgment into victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. This is the previews of coming attractions, that after Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, we're going to have the gospel going to the Gentiles. We see that even with Jesus, when he was with the man who had a legion of demons. He was with a Gentile man, and he healed that man. I'm telling you, if the Gentiles don't accept Jesus today, God will go to the Muslims and to the Jews. And that's real. We are still in the time of the Gentiles. The time of the Jews have not yet come. But how many Gentiles are there that really love Jesus? How many Gentiles are there that really are loved in the midst of the community? How many? As one person said to me, not much, not much, not much, not much. Listen, we are called to care for people. People call me at all hours of the day. One lady called me yesterday. She was very anxious. So I told her to take deep breaths. I prayed with her and to go wash her face with cold water. And she was so anxious, and she was in work and she didn't know what to do. So she called me. Now, listen. I had an opportunity to be kind to a woman. I had an opportunity to be kind to a woman who was filled with anxiety, who felt that she couldn't finish the day. So I told her calmly, I'll pray with you, and I'll take deep breaths and go wash your face. Take deep breaths and go wash your face. Then was brought unto Jesus one possessed with the devil, and he was blind and dumb. And Jesus healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spoke and saw. You know, I'm sure Jesus did many of these miracles on the Sabbath because he wanted people to know he was Lord of the Sabbath. He wanted people to know that it's better to do good on the Sabbath than to do evil on the Sabbath. Again, he talks about the sheep entering a pit. You go after the sheep. Are not human beings greater than sheep? Of course we are. Of course we are. Jesus was not breaking the Sabbath. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath, and he is greater than the Sabbath. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of David, royalty? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They're always looking for an answer. How can Beelzebub cast out devils? That's impossible. A house divided against itself shall not stand. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Yes, the real experience of the kingdom coming upon us is the casting out devils. It's no longer the devil's property, the earth. Jesus casts out devils. His death and resurrection in his life are going to be used not only to heal the sick, but to cast out devils. And I'm telling you today, people need other people to cast out demons. Why? Because they have played around with astrology, numerology, reading of the palms, you know, astrology. All those things will be an open door for the devil to come in. So what do you need to do? Repent. Father, I'm sorry that I've done these things. I'm going to confession, and I'm going to confess them because I'm turning my back on all these things. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Let me say thank you to the people who have written to me. I'm very grateful, but there are so many others who get blessings out of these broadcasts, and they've not given us a penny. You can go to www.inseason.net, and you can leave a donation on your credit card. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.